Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is January 4th, 2021. It is a brand new week, and I have another jam-packed episode for you of Brock Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Basketball. What are we going to discuss today? Well, since it's Monday, we're going to discuss waiver wire trends because we're going to discuss your sleepers, your streamers, and we're going to discuss waiver wire pickups that can help your team across all levels. And then at the end, I wanted to cover how my week went. And that's what we're going to do every week. See how my week went and if there's any moves on any of my teams that I consider doing. That way you can see what I'm doing in action as well as showing you what's potentially available. Let's get right to the waiver wire trends. That's what you're here for. But before we do that, so I guess not right to it. You know what to do. Subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. Smash that like button for the YouTube algorithm so that we can keep growing this brand and this channel. And as always, share this with your friends. Visit www.brocklesnarhoops.com. And now we'll get to it. Cue the intro. The first player we'll be discussing today is Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon played 33 minutes, had 21 points, had two steals. Eric Gordon is not a great fantasy asset, so he's personally not someone I'm going to rush to pick up. There are some concerns that James Harden could miss a little bit of time. We don't know how serious that ankle is, but he's going to have some opportunities there. The thing with Eric Gordon, he can absolutely crush your field goal percentage, as you can see here. He shot only 38%, close to 39%, and the first two games he didn't produce anything. I think he may have been one of the players involved with the quarantining, but still, he hasn't been a usable fantasy asset for a few years now, so I would probably avoid him if I have to drop somebody I really value. So he's not a pickup, he's not a must-own is what I'm saying. DeAndre Hunter, someone hyped up quite heavily on Brock Lesnar Hoops, currently ranked 66. I told you guys last week it was time to pick up DeAndre Hunter, and I hope that you did. He had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He had two steals and a block. And in my opinion, DeAndre Hunter is who everyone is pretending Darius Bazley is right now. I think you're going to get a lot more consistent production from DeAndre Hunter. Maybe not quite as many blocks and rebounds, but I think he's going to help you in other areas that you're not going to get from Darius Bazley. Not to throw shade on Bazley, just I think DeAndre Hunter deserves more recognition and respect. Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis may be a good pickup for you if you have Hassan Whiteside. I'm in a 12-team league where I felt I just had to move on from Hassan Whiteside, and I dropped him and I picked up Bobby Portis. And he got me 13 points, 12 rebounds, got me 2 blocks. He's getting about 25 minutes per game, and it looks like it is impacting Brook Lopez. So he is a guy that can get you a double-double. He's been doing pretty well the last few games. Do keep in mind that in the loss against Miami Heat on December 30th, he did only play 18 minutes. So that's just something to keep an eye on. Don't grab him expecting him to get 30 minutes, 25 minutes every single night. There's probably going to be nights where he doesn't play because he does have some deficiencies, not only in fantasy basketball, but also real life. George Hill, somebody I picked up in a few of my leagues because he's proven in the past he can be a valuable contributor to your fantasy basketball team. He had 18 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. He made 3 three-pointers, shot over 58%, and really good stat line from him. He kept turnovers low, and I love those players that can get me a good amount of assists. I prefer a guy who can get me 5 assists and only 1 turnover than a guy that's going to get me 10 assists and 4 or 5 turnovers. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And I'll show you why in a bit. So if you need a point guard, you need point guard debt, I would definitely consider grabbing George Hill. Bismack Biyombo, somebody who was flying off the waiver wire for his game because of his rebounding game on January 1st against the Memphis Grizzlies. He had a much more boring performance, though we are getting some assists out of Bismack Biyombo, which is pretty amazing, to be honest. Definitely not a wrinkle to his game I was expecting, and something that might give him some value as long as he's getting minutes, even if he isn't getting you the rebounds and shot blocking you expect. I still think he's a low-end pickup as a big man, and his time is probably going to be limited. I do believe PJ Washington may be questionable for his next game. I'll have to look into that. But that could open up some more minutes for Bismack Biyombo and more opportunity for him if PJ Washington were to not play a game or two. Malik Beasley, very strong performance from him. He had 38 minutes, hit 3 3-pointers, had 25 points, 5 assists, a steal, a block, 7 rebounds. He's been a pretty decent rebounder so far for a point guard, something I didn't really expect from him this season. Definitely not a guy that's getting me steals and blocks, but he kept his turnovers low as well. So just like George Hill, I really like to see that 5 assists to only 1 turnover. He hasn't been much of an assist guy so far this season, so that's hopefully something we see develop more. The only concerns with Malik Beasley are the fact that he could get suspended. We don't know when. We don't know if it's at the end of the season. We don't know if it's now. We don't know if it's in a month. They might still be investigating that and putting that together. So at any moment, he could become unusable. And it also might become droppable if he gets a lengthy suspension. I don't know the details. Doesn't seem that there's much information out there. But he's definitely worthy of a flyer. Pick him up and cross that bridge when you get to it. Keldon Johnson continues to fly off waiver wires and is having an amazing fantasy basketball season. He is having the season I thought Devin Vassell was going to have, and I completely whiffed on this, and that's on me. You can't get them all right. Now going forward, though, what I can do, I can put him on my watch list, I can put him on my radar, and I definitely will value him a lot more in next year's draft. If I don't get the chance to pick him off the waiver wire at some point, he's just starting off really hot. He's consistently getting minutes. He's impressing his coaches. And that bodes very well for his long-term value. If you're in a dynasty league and he's on the waiver wire for whatever reason, you definitely want to pick him up. Terrence Ross continues to have a really strong season. And I picked Terrence Ross up in a 10-team league, and I don't regret it. He's performing amazingly well. Had 4 3-pointers, 26 points. He's been getting you a sprinkle of steals. He only had 0 turnovers, so he didn't hurt you there. And Yahoo has him ranked as the number 73 player right now. He's shooting almost 50% from the field and 90% from free throw. I don't know how sustainable that is, but if he can keep that field goal percentage around 45% and continue to get you close to 3 3-pointers and continues to have a really high free throw percentage, I really like the idea of having Terrence Ross on my team. So if he happens to be available, and he missed a game on the 31st, so he may have been dropped because of that, definitely pick him up if he happens to be on your waiver wire for some reason. Cameron Johnson had 22 minutes and a pretty poor game from him. He's still a young player, but keep in mind he was doing really well before that. So if somebody drops him, I keep telling you guys, and I'm going to keep preaching it, it's really easy to grab a guy when he's doing well. That's super easy. The problem is, take the PS5. You want a PS5? I got a PS5. Guess what I had to do? I had to pay $300 above retail price. And it was a pretty fair deal considering most resale PS5s were going for over $1,000. But I still paid $300 more than retail. But that's supply and demand. That's what happens when you try to go for a guy when everybody else wants them. You're going to have to pay more, which can weaken your team if they end up not being worth where you got them. Now take a guy who's severely underperforming or has a really couple of rough games. Then no one else wants them. That means you might get it at a discount. So you might get them for half the price they're actually worth. And when you do that, and they perform to their worth, guess what you just did? You profited. You profited off of picking that player up. You bought low, and now they're producing at their baseline, and they're helping you. So get it out of your head that you can only pick guys up when they're doing extremely well, because that's going to make life hard for you. A lot of times, I will stomach some pain early on because I have the belief that at some point that player is going to help me out a lot more than they are today and will be more valuable. And if you hit on just two or three of those players before everybody else does, you become incredibly, incredibly hard to beat. I never rest on my laurels. I am constantly on the waiver wire, and that's why I'm doing these videos for you, because I'm constantly looking for value that can help my team. I'm constantly looking for pieces that I can add, and we'll discuss some of those in this segment. Shake Milton, hyped him up a whole lot in preseason. And on January 2nd, had 18 points, had 3 three-pointers, 25 minutes. He's been getting consistently 25 to 30 minutes per game. So he's only going to get better, in my opinion. He's one of the best shooters on that team. And with Ben Simmons not being much of a shooter himself, there's just going to be a lot of opportunities for Shake Milton to be out there. And I can definitely see a lot of playing time with for him, Seth Curry, and Ben Simmons, to make up for the fact that Ben Simmons himself is not a shooter, and they really want to stretch the floor out for Joel Embiid and for Ben Simmons to try to unlock that team, because Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid just have not been the most natural fit, because Joel Embiid heavily operates out of the post and Ben Simmons is mostly a player that attacks the basket. By being able to surround them with deadly shooters, which Shake Milton definitely qualifies. He's at 1.3 three-pointers made right now, but I definitely think that's going to go up. He's already getting you over a steal per game. He's only getting you one turnover per game. That's really valuable, useful production right there. So don't lose sight of that. He's been underperforming. He's been underwhelming, but he's slowly starting to get hot. So this right now is the time to pick him up. And he may have another bad game or two. I'm not telling you he won't. But in a month, when they figured out the rotation, do I think he's going to be one of those top eight guys on that team getting significant minutes? I absolutely think he does. And when he does, I think he's going to produce and doesn't belong on the waiver wire. So if you need a point guard, you need three-point shooting. His percentages have not been the best, but I see those improving as well. Gorgui Dieng had 21 minutes, which is nice because he can produce in limited minutes, though this was not the best game for him. Still, though, had a three-pointer, 5 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Definitely liked the 4 assists. He only had 1 turnover. Not the best game from him, but if he's going to be getting 20-plus minutes per game, as long as that's happening, I like him on my team. He's been a dynamic fantasy contributor in the past when he had a starting role, but then he was on the Minnesota Timberwolves team that drafted Karl-Anthony Towns, and he just never really had a path to minutes unless there were injuries. But almost every time, without fail, that there were injuries, he produced when given the minutes. So as long as he's getting minutes, all the injuries that this team is dealing with, I would definitely pick him up, especially if you have Jaren Jackson Jr., because once Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back, you can throw this guy back on the waiver wire and slide Mr. Jaren Jackson Jr. back in. Mason Plumlee played yesterday, had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. Really high field goal percentage, really high free throw percentage. And you know what? I saw somebody draft Mason Plumlee in one of my videos. I forget which one. And I scoffed and laughed at them because they picked him like in the top 80. And so far, I'm the one with egg on my face. So that is an L. L for Brock Lesnar, okay? If I'm going to tell you my victories, darn it, I'm going to tell you my L's too. And there are several. But you will never be good at fantasy basketball if you don't know how to take some L's. And that's my best advice for any sort of investing that you do. If you don't know how to take L's, don't invest. Josh Jackson went down with an ankle injury. He limped off the floor. He did not finish the game. And he's probably droppable. I don't know who the natural pick. Dellen Wright may be a pickup, but even with Josh Jackson being injured, Dellen Wright did not do a whole lot. And we don't know how serious his ankle injury is. He's been doing okay. The field goal percentage is nice. Don't like the free throw percentage at all. He was giving you over 15 points per game. More turnovers than assists. The steals and blocks numbers, I guess, aren't awful. He does have upside and potential, but he's probably droppable. I know in a 10-team league where I had picked him up, Joe Harris was still on the waiver wire, and I dropped Josh Jackson to pick Joe Harris up. And I think I'm the one that dropped Joe Harris when he started off not to my standard. So I'd say in a 10-team league, he's definitely droppable. In a 12-team league, depending on your depth, if there's not a better option on the waiver wire, maybe you hold on. But it's possible he's droppable in your 12-team league as well. 14 teams and more at that point, talent pool should be shallow enough that you stomach a Josh Jackson on your team. Chris Boucher played 29 minutes, had 24 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 0 turnovers. It was a loss for the Toronto Raptors. Now, ever since that 5-minute game where he may have been dropped, he's had an okay performance after that, and now another really good plus 20-plus point-per-game performance. Chris Boucher's ranked at 74 right now, so I hope you didn't drop him after that 5-minute performance, because like I told you, Aaron Baines is his main competition for minutes there, and I don't think that's... Aaron Baines is more of a backup. He's not really much of an obstacle while Chris Boucher is young, and you also have Pascal Siakam underperforming, so while Chris Boucher is running hot, he's worthy of having on your team. So if he's somehow on your waiver wire because people didn't like the 0-point game or the 9-point game that followed, definitely, definitely pick him up. Ooh, we got a lot of more people we can cover. JaVale McGee got 25 minutes, had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, had 2 turnovers, and he's been okay. Yahoo only has him ranked at 182, but him getting 25 minutes, if he's getting 25 minutes per game, he can win your blocks category on a weekly basis. So I'm considering picking him up in some of my 12-team leagues where I can stomach the poor free throw percentage, because he has been pretty awful from free throw percentage. But he's hit a couple of threes, which is an interesting wrinkle. The blocks per game are a little low right now. His turnovers per game are a little high. But if he could bring those turnovers per game down and he gets those blocks per game up closer to 1.5, he's going to start flying off waiver wire. So now may be the time to strongly consider picking him up. Enes Kanter, another player we mentioned before, he got 24 minutes, 24 points, 12 rebounds, and he's consistently getting more minutes than Joseph Nurkic, which is very concerning for Joseph Nurkic. They did lose this game, however, and Steph Curry ended up dropping 62 points. So hopefully we see less minutes for Enes Kanter and more for Joseph Nurkic. But as long as Enes Kanter's getting minutes, he becomes usable for your fantasy league because of his ability to really help your percentages. 68.8% field goal, 87.5% free throw. That is amazing stuff right there for a guy getting you close to a double-double. He's never going to help you with assists, steals, or blocks, but those categories he helps you in, he helps you on a high level. He's a guy normally in the past I like to pair with guys like Tobias Harris, just those high percentage guys, because you stack enough of those players up and suddenly you're one of those teams that can shoot 50% from the field while still having 82-83% free throw, which makes it really hard to beat you, especially since he's not very turnover prone. Darius Bazley had a pretty good game on January 2nd. 19 points, 12 rebounds, hit 2 3-pointers, had a block, 0 turnover, shot 70% from the field. But keep in mind the 3 games before that, definitely a lot of upside with Mr. Darius Bazley, but I still foresee a lot of inconsistency. I would not be shocked if in the game against Miami he has 5 or 6 points, several turnovers, that sort of production. I still think he hasn't figured the game out to the degree where you can trust him with 100% confidence, especially if you're in like a 10-team league. Danny Avdija, who's currently still ranked 67 according to Yahoo, despite not having a great scoring performance and limited minutes, can't help but notice he did get you a 3, a steal, a block, only 1 turnover. So that's really helpful production for what I would consider an underperformance from him. So I still think that shows his upside and his ability to help you as a fantasy asset. I love those guys that get me 3s, those guys that get me steals, and if he's going to get me some blocks, which is very possible, he's very tall for a wing player. So hopefully he's not getting minutes this low consistently, especially in a win. Davis Bertans got a lot more minutes this game, and I'm hoping they find a way to play both significant minutes. And I'd hope it does not become a positional battle where they're fighting for the same minutes, because I really want to see what Denny can do. And I also like Davis Bertans, and I hope that they can both play together. Hassan Whiteside, like I mentioned before when talking about Bobby Portis, is probably a drop candidate right now. I saw him dropped in my 16-team league. Though it's what I mentioned before to you, though. Sometimes to be really good, you have to take some gambles. So maybe pick Hassan Whiteside up today. And he just does nothing. He gets 5 to 8 minutes, gets you an occasional block, but you're just so upset that you have this guy on your roster. Then Marvin Bagley gets traded because his dad demanded a trade. They're pushing for it. And they decide, well, we're going to move on from Marvin Bagley. Or maybe there's an injury to someone on the Kings front court rotation. And now you have Hassan Whiteside forced into playing the 20 to 25 minute role, which is what happened with the Blazers with the Nurkic injury. And suddenly Hassan Whiteside's putting up 12 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks, shooting 55% from the field and shooting, let's say, 77% free throw. And you pick this guy up with your last streamer spot in a 16-team league. What do you think that's going to do for you? It may not happen, but if it doesn't happen, it's just your last streamer spot. You're not dropping one of your top guys for him. You're giving up dead weight. So in that situation, my opinion, the upside severely outweighs the risk, even if you do have to stomach really bad performances. Hassan Whiteside, time and time again, teams complain about his inability to help them. Yet on the Miami Heat, he was getting minutes. On the Blazers, he found his way into minutes. And I suspect that in a few weeks, we'll see Hassan Whiteside getting minutes and not on the waiver wire. So just something to think about. Kelly Olynyk played 25 minutes, and he had 8 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. The 2 steals and 2 blocks is nice. The 29 minutes of playing time is nice. But they did lose by 10 points to the Dallas Mavericks. So Kelly Olynyk, unless you're in a very deep league where you need center depth and a player that can hit three-pointers for you, who so far is helping you with your steals and blocks, though keep in mind he's really hurting you in the percentages, and he's not ranked very highly. Naz Reid had a strong performance on January 3rd, and I picked him up in a few more leagues. He had 13 points, 4 rebounds, a block, 2 steals, I'm sorry, 2 turnovers, and I think that's the sort of production you're going to get from him. He's going to help your field goal percentage somewhat. I think he's going to have some poor shooting nights as well. He's going to get occasional blocks for you, and he's going to get occasional threes for you. So he presents some value until Karl Anthony Towns returns. Whenever it is that he returns, if you're a Karl Anthony Towns owner, I like having Naz Reid in that situation. Because again, once Karl Anthony Towns returns and Naz Reid loses value, you drop Naz Reid and you slide Karl Anthony Towns in. And I almost view it as just one player. And like, just transition his, it's the same minutes. So why not view it as the same player? Maybe we're getting a poor version of Karl Anthony Towns right now. He heals up and I slide in and we get Naz Reid at his best, which is Karl Anthony Towns. I hope that makes sense. Alec Burks. Injured already, and this is a repeated story with him. He has been upgraded to questionable ahead of today's game, so he may play. But this guy's just consistently injured. When he was playing, he was putting up really nice production. That cannot be denied. Really nice numbers. But still, I have some concerns. His team won, and he didn't play a minute. And they beat a pretty good Indiana Pacers team, so does that mean Reggie Bullock is going to continue getting those minutes? Elfrid Payton continues to put up some pretty usable numbers, though. Look at the Yahoo rank. The Yahoo rank is pretty foul due to the fact that he's hurting your turnovers, your steals, and your blocks per game, and your free throw percentage, and not getting you a whole lot of threes. But he's helping you in 4 categories. Field goal percentage, he's scoring a decent amount. He's rebounding an okay amount, and he's assisting an okay amount. So, as you can see, there are some flaws to Elfrid Payton, but he does help you in certain areas. and he could still improve. It is nice to see he got 34 minutes. He got 36 minutes two games before that, and maybe he's earning Thibodeau's trust. And if he has Thibodeau's trust, he might continue to get minutes. But keep in mind the places in which he hurts you and make sure that you're able to absorb that production and not hurt your team in the areas you don't want to hurt your team. TJ Warren, due to the stress fracture on his foot, is being dropped. And again, on my theme of grabbing a guy when nobody wants him, he has that injury tag, which means you can throw him in your IR. If you have a free IR slot, why not take a chance, pick him up, put him in your IR. If he comes back healthy, now you have a top 60, 70 guy coming off of your IR. And if he does not end up being that good, or he doesn't end up returning, then you just drop him. He's not hurting you. So IR is a great tool for helping your fantasy basketball team and helping you accumulate assets, and also helping you keep your assets. Lugens Dort had a much more pedestrian game, though he still got 30 minutes of playing time, and his team did get a win against an Orlando Magic team that's been playing pretty well. Did get a steal, a block, and a three. Definitely like to see that. His field goal percentage has been pretty low almost every game besides his game on December 28th. So despite this saying he's averaging 48% field goal for the season, I think field goal percentage is not something he's going to help you with consistently. I think at best he's probably going to be average at least for this season. But again, it's nice to see the three-pointers, the steals, and the blocks, and the playing time he's getting. Ricky Rubio is being dropped quickly. Only got 18 minutes in a loss against Denver. And just, I had concerns he wouldn't be too valuable this season, and it looks like it's playing out the way I predicted. I feel like I saw something similar when he was with the Jazz. They just had him playing off ball more, and he's just a player that's effective when he has the ball in his hands. And with Malik Beasley, with Anthony Edwards, and with D'Lo, it's just very unlikely, unless there's injuries, he's going to get playing time. I would keep an eye on him. If there's ever an injury that opens up minutes for him, you want to run and grab him off the waiver wire. But for right now, as long as the team's guards are as healthy as they are, I would understand if you want to move on from Ricky Rubio, even in leagues as shallow as 12 teams. Jay Crowder, a guy I told you I'm not super crazy about, kind of showing you here why. The minutes are nice. That I will say. He had 29 minutes and 31 minutes. But he played Denver, had 4 points, shot 20%, didn't get you any steals and blocks. Then he played on January 3rd, only shot 33%. The 2 3-pointers is okay, but only had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and nothing else in 31. So that sort of consistency, I don't like it in a 12-team league. In deeper formats, it's worth it just because those games where he blows up end up helping your team, and your team, the waiver wire ends up being so barren that it just makes sense. But for the most part, I wouldn't recommend Jay Crowder in a 12-team league. 14-team leagues is where I would start considering him. Harrison Barnes, we've discussed him before, but had 2 3-pointers, 19 points, 7 rebounds on January 2nd. And he continues to have a pretty strong season for you. It's not a guy who's going to help you with your steals and blocks, but he's scoring, he's getting rebounds, and his percentages aren't terrible. So Harrison Barnes is worthy of a flyer if he somehow happens to be on your waiver wire, which is probably unlikely. Lou Williams, after showing signs of life with a 20-point performance followed by a 15-point performance, has now combined for 11 points in his last two games. And I've been asked, do we drop Lou Williams? And I have to be honest, it might be time to drop Lou Williams. He's 34, I believe. He's older. He's undersized. He doesn't play defense. So if he's not scoring consistently, he's not really helping your team. You could probably watch him from the waiver wire right now. The performances are so putrid. Unless somebody really wants to gamble, they're probably not going to pick him up. But at the same time, if he has one of those 20-point per game performances that he can have on occasion, which he had a few on the 29th, then people will pick him up off the waiver wire. So maybe this season he's going to be more valuable as a streamer you pick up and drop as he's available. Nicholas Batum played 31 minutes, and he continues to have a pretty strong fantasy season. This has him ranked at 57, and considering this guy had no fantasy value going into the season, He's really played himself into some fantasy value. Shot 47, is shooting 47% so far for the season, 90% from free throw. And he's a guy that can just sprinkle in some help in different areas. This last game, he had 4 3-pointers, got you a steal, had 14 points. But what I really like to see is that he's getting minutes. If he's getting minutes in the 30 range, he can probably help your team, which makes him pickable, I'd say, in leagues even as shallow as 12 teams. 10-team leagues is probably more shallow than you want him in. Tristan Thompson had a double-double, no steals or blocks. And outside of a deeper format where I just really need rebounding, Tristan Thompson's not a very exciting player to me. The center I want to own in Boston is Robert Williams. Jalen Brunson flying off waiver wires after a very strong performance because Luka Doncic is dealing with a quad injury. He had 31.7 assists, and this is the sort of performance that could open up some playing time for him. Now, it is important to keep in mind that he's getting limited opportunity when Luka Doncic is injured. I mean, healthy. So if Luka Doncic comes back soon, Jalen Brunson's value may evaporate quickly. He could still find some value if he's getting 20 minutes or more, but I would hold off on picking Jalen Brunson up outside of a very deep format. Jordan Clarkson, after a 9-point performance on the twin on the January 1st, on January 3rd, had 18 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, shot almost 62%. Don't like to see those 4 turnovers, but the pretty nice line from Jordan Clarkson, and Yahoo has him currently ranked at 70. Jordan Clarkson's a guy I've really told you that you should strongly consider towards the end of your drafts if you needed a point guard, so I hope he's a player that you guys picked up. And I told you in the Barack Lesnar Hoops League, I actually dropped Lou Williams for Jordan Clarkson, so very satisfied with that move so far, and it's paying dividends for me. He's performing in the way that people expected Lou Williams to perform, so which is why I picked him, and he has youth on his side. He got paid, and you know he's a long-term piece for this team considering the contract they gave him. So if Jordan Clarkson's on your waiver wire, he's somebody you want to strongly consider picking up. Justin Holiday is one of those guys that has very sneaky fantasy value, and this game shows you why. TJ Warren's injury also opens up significant playing time for him, at least until Jeremy Lamb is back. He had 4 three-pointers made, 12 points, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. The 4 three-pointers made, the 80% shooting, his ability to get you steals and blocks. He's not going to help you with rebounding and assists for the most part, and he's a very streaky scorer, but that lines like this show his value when he's helping you with steals, blocks, keeping his turnovers really low, and getting you a good amount of three-pointers made. He's one of those glue guys I like to pick up, and is usually has been my streamer, one of my go-to streamers for a few years. When he's having a rough time, I drop him, and people tend to not pick him up just because they see he scores 9 points per game, 2.7 rebounds, and an assist, and in their head thinks, oh, well, he's hurting my team, when in reality, he actually can help your team significantly. DeAndre Jordan, nothing really to discuss there. He's droppable if you have him, not a big fan of his. I'm thinking Jared Allen is going to beat him up for the majority of those minutes pretty soon. Rudy Gay, 10 points, 2 three-pointers, 2 steals, a block, only 1 turnover. He's ranked in the top 100. The percentages aren't nice, but he's producing some low-end value for you. So if you're in a deeper format, you might want to consider picking him up. I'd say 14-team leagues or deeper. He'd probably be valuable there for you. Brandon Clark had another rough performance and just has not lived up to the expectations I had for him and a lot of people had for him. He had an ADP, I'd say it was close to 90, if I remember correctly. I still believe in him long term. He was very good his rookie season. He's going through some struggles. If you have him and you want to drop him for a hot free agent or turn that into a streaming spot, I won't be mad at you for that. But with all the injuries this team is dealing with, he has gotten 32 minutes and 29 minutes, so the minutes are there. He can block for you. He can get you threes, and his field goal percentage tends to be really high. So bank on that upside. If he's on your waiver wire, I would pick him up, and I wouldn't drop him just yet unless there was a really good player on the waiver wire. A really good player. Robert Williams got a block, 2 steals. Don't like to see he only got 17 minutes. He's a player I want to see getting more playing time. But despite all that, with his shot blocking and his ability to help your field goal percentage, he's ranked 69. And I picked him up in a 20-team league just last week. So if you're in a deeper format, you definitely want to pick up Robert Williams. He reminds me a little bit of Mitchell Robinson. If he ends up getting that playing time, we may see some Mitchell Robinson-like production from him. He's a pretty potent shot blocker, and he's only had over 22 minutes two times so far this season, and he's averaging 1.6 blocks per game. That is nothing to scoff at all. Tyus Jones, somebody I recommended for pickup when John Morant got injured, has had some solid performances since then. He had 12 assists on January 1st. This last game, he shot almost 55%, which he's normally not a guy that helps your field goal percentage, so really good shooting percentage from him, and he did it against the Lakers, the defending champion, something to keep in mind. 2 3-pointers, 14 points, 3 assists, a steal, 0 turnovers. He's a really good assist-turnover guy, as in he gets a lot of assists relative to how few turnovers he gets. Monte Morris had a pretty decent line in this one, played 29 minutes, had 6 assists, got you a 3, 80% shooting from free throw line, no turnovers. Some usable production there. Nice to see him getting consistent playing time so far this season. Though keep in mind there has been some injuries. Jamal Murray missed a little bit of time. I think he missed a game or two. And then you have Michael Porter Jr. also missing time because of COVID contact tracing. So it's yet to be seen how much playing time he's getting. And now you got my boy Facundo Campazzo getting playing time as well. So that's something to look out for. But Monte Morris is more of a low-end pickup if you need a point guard anyways, and probably not someone you should have in a 12-team league unless you're really desperate for point guard depth. And who else is flying off the waiver wire? Let's see if we can look by position. So let's see who's flying off the waiver wire. And here he is. We just discussed him. Facundo Campazzo played 21 minutes. He got 5 three-pointers, had 15 points, 2 assists, 3 steals, a block, a turnover. We heard a whole lot of preseason hype for Facundo, and he hadn't really performed to that preseason hype. We didn't see him getting many minutes. But in a win against Minnesota where we saw Jamal Murray actually having his minutes staggered with Nikola Jokic. So I personally picked him up in my 16-team league, and I picked him up in my 20-team league because he was available just to see if he can continue to get minutes and to see what he's able to do in those minutes. Definitely worthy of a streamer spot this week. Who else is up here that may be available on your waiver wire? We've discussed a lot of these players already, but I'm going to go position by position, trying to point out the players who could be helpful to you. All right, let's go to the shooting guards. We discussed a lot of these already. And I'm mostly trying to focus on guys that are possible for you to pick up. Tyrese Haliburton is somebody who you may want to consider picking him up now. Again, buy low. Buy low. Last week would have been a lot harder to get him, but he injured his wrist. And he's, I believe, going to be reevaluated sometime this week. And he's going to have, then we'll find out hopefully a little more. Hopefully this absence is not for too long. He still doesn't even have the injury tag, so there is some belief he may come back sooner rather than later. So now may be the time to take a chance on him. Lonnie Walker continues to underwhelm after having a pretty strong start to the season. And Derek White didn't even play, so it may be time to move on from Lonnie Walker. I know I have. Anyone else? Dellen Wright may have some playing time with the injury to Josh Jackson, so he could be a streamer for you if you want somebody that can get you some steals and some blocks. Let's see the small forward eligible players. See who may be available for you. So there's definitely Denny Avija. Aaron Burks, if you want to throw him on your injury reserve, would definitely strongly consider doing that. Jay Crowder could be a decent streamer for you. Justin Holiday. Justin Holiday is definitely a decent streamer, even in 12-team leagues, I would say. Brandon Clark, if he's on your waiver wire, I would strongly consider him as a streamer. He's going to have games on the 5th, 7th, and the 8th. Royce O'Neal had a pretty decent game. He had 11 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, no steals or blocks or turnovers. He got 29 minutes, and he's been getting pretty consistent playing time. So he's not a great fantasy asset, but as long as he's getting minutes, he may be worthy of a streamer spot to see if he could string together a few more quality games. Anybody else I would recommend? Let's see, Josh Hart. Josh Hart continues to rebound the ball at a high level for a guard. He got you a block, 2 3-pointers, and he's probably worthy of a pickup. I don't know if 12-team leagues, definitely 14-team leagues and deeper. Anybody else that may be available to you? Daniel House Jr., I know I keep hyping this guy up, and he has underwhelmed severely. Just look at the playing time. He's been a usable fantasy asset in the past, and I can't imagine he's going to continue playing this poorly. The playing time being there, and his team has been winning. It's not like they've been losing. They've won 2 games in a row, and they won with James Harden not playing. So he's helping the team. He can play defense, and he can stretch the floor, and I think he's going to be better than he's been. I traded for him. I'm drawing a blank. Maxi Kleber. That's who I was thinking of. Drew a complete blank there. Traded Maxi Kleber for him because I had too many centers in that 20-team league, and I really think Daniel House Jr. is underperforming relative to what he'll be able to do. PJ Washington. PJ Washington, as I told you guys, let's see what is going on with him. He's a game time decision. Not showing me an update on that, but so let's see here. Should say he didn't appear to be right when on the court during the second half and following the game. Just some clash to why Washington minutes were limited. Consider him questionable for Monday's game, given the lack of report on how severe the injury is. So there are some injury concerns with PJ Washington. His percentages have been awful so far, and the blocks and steals haven't been where I want them, and a lot of turnovers. I still think he has a lot of upside and can do better, but if he's dealing with an injury, he probably becomes a drop candidate for you. Patrick Williams, someone who was dropped a lot, has very notable that he had 3 steals and 2 blocks, so maybe worthy of a streamer spot as well. He has games on the 5th, 6th, and 8th. And let's discuss some power forward eligible players. As far as power forwards, we discussed Bobby Portis. Jay Crowder's there again. TJ Warren, if you want to throw him in your IR. Nicholas Batum is a decent option. So we discussed a lot of these players. Still trying to give you players that are available. Davis Bertans, he may have been dropped recently because he started off really slowly and he had one of his better games of the season, hit 4 3-pointers. And when he gets going, he's going to fly off waiver wire. So if he happens to be on yours, definitely strongly consider picking him up. Anybody else of note? Let's see what Kelly Oubre did. Kelly Oubre, after starting the season off horribly, has had a better game. He had a pretty decent game in the win against Portland, had 17 points, 2 steals and a block. And the buy low window is going to quickly shut. I still think it's open, but it's definitely more closed than it was yesterday. I told you guys he was a buy low target. If he's on your waiver wire, you definitely want to pick him up. And you may want to float a buy low offer, see if you can get him for cheap. Draymond Green returned, had 8 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. But I'm not very excited for Draymond Green as a fantasy asset. Cam Reddish had a rough game, only had 24 points. 2 poor shooting performances in a row, and his field goal percentage is going to be inconsistent the majority of the season. But he's going to be a guy that can help you with threes and steals, I think, pretty consistently. Though I would consider turning him into a streaming spot if you really need the help. And lastly, let's discuss some center-eligible players to see who we haven't covered yet. JaVale McGee we covered. Enes Kanter we covered. Naz Reid we covered. Robert Williams recovered. Maxi Kleber may be an all right option. He had 3 3-pointers, 16 points, 5 rebounds, and he's got in 28 minutes, followed by 29 minutes. So the minutes are there for him. Definitely would strongly want to consider him. Robert Covington continues to be dropped. He's underwhelming, not performing where people expected, but even then, he's still ranked in the top 100. And this is what people being not very high on his production. Still got you 2 3-pointers made, still got you 2 steals. And I think Robert Covington started last year off pretty slowly as well, and then ended up turning it on and became one of the most valuable players in fantasy basketball. I still believe in Robert Covington. There's just years of evidence of him being a very helpful player, and I'm not going to ignore that. Ivica Zubac only played 14 minutes. Ivica Zubac is probably droppable. He hasn't been getting enough minutes, and he's not a guy that's getting you blocks. He did get you blocks December 29th and 30th, but traditionally he's not much of a shot blocker. Hopefully, if he can continue getting minutes in the 20 range, then he's probably a decent enough low-end center, maybe even in 12-team leagues, but I don't see much upside for him. LaMarcus Aldridge has missed 3 games in a row. He is eligible for the IR. So if somebody drops him, he's probably not the worst player to throw in the IR, but honestly, he seems so washed. It's kind of a hope and a prayer at this point. Anybody else? Wendell Carter Jr., people are giving up on him quickly. He was benched at the end of the game, only got 23 minutes, and not playing to the potential we expected. He did have a couple of decent games. He was scoring in the teens, but he has to play a lot better. The free throw percentage, he's hurting you. He's not getting you the blocks that we expected him to get. He's getting a good amount of turnovers. Hopefully he gets it together. He's a very skilled player. He's still a young player. He can do better. So he has upside. So if he's on your waiver wire, I probably would pick him up, and I probably wouldn't drop him just yet. Brook Lopez, if somebody got dropped him due to him not doing great, you may want to pick him up. It is concerning that he only got 16 minutes. It was a blowout win, so it probably was for rest reasons. Hit 3 three-pointers and a block. That's pretty useful production, but he has not been performing to the degree I expected. Hopefully he does better. Brook Lopez is an elite shot blocker, and you should not forget that. Marvin Bagley is just an awful fantasy basketball player, and it really bothers me. He's getting 25 minutes per game while Hassan Whiteside is just burning, laying eggs on my bench. Hopefully, the team realizes that Marvin Bagley is just not a great fantasy basketball player, moves on, trades him so that my Hassan Whiteside can get minutes and help me win my leagues. Anybody else we want to discuss? Nerlens Noel. Nerlens Noel might make a decent streamer. He hasn't been getting minutes. But he may be a decent streamer for his ability to get you steals and blocks, especially if you're in a deeper format. Very disappointed with how few minutes he's getting. Hopefully we get to see him get 20 plus minutes, but I may be smoking the hopium on that one. Lauri Markkanen now has the injury tag. So if somebody were to drop him, you may want to put him in your IR, because he does have some upside. Anybody else that we can discuss? Thomas Bryant, a guy I'm huge on. He's not going to be available on your waiver wire. Has him ranked at 21. And any debate whether Thomas Bryant or Al Horford was more valuable, I think the question has been answered very early on in this season. And one great example of why you bank on youth instead of old players, because you want to bank on upside, not players on the downslide. You just don't want to do that. It could work out sometimes, but for the most part, you want to bank on youth that's getting opportunity. Thomas Bryant is performing really well. He's a guy I drafted heavily in a lot of my mock drafts, and I hope you have him on your team, because you definitely aren't regretting the production he's getting you. And his free throw percentage is pretty low right now. He's ranked this high with his free throw percentage at 58.8%. He can probably get that a lot closer to 70-75%. And suddenly, and you could see here, the last few games, the last game he shot 100% from free throw. So he may be ranked even higher than he is right here. Serge Ibaka is ranked really highly as well. A guy that I targeted heavily around pick 115 if I needed a big man. He's averaging 1.3 three-pointers made, 53% from the field, 1.3 blocks. His turnovers are low. Really nice low-end production for a guy you could have grabbed pretty late in drafts. Jared Allen is another player. Cover boy on my sleepers videos. Had 4 blocks, had a double-double, got 25 points, and that's what made him a sleeper. So if you have him on your team, congratulations. Clint Capella, not having a great season, absolutely killing you from free throw percentage. Still averaging a double-double, 1.3 blocks per game. Hopefully he's not shooting 18% the rest of the season, because that is god-awfully low. Very low-end production from him right now, but I think he can be better than he's been. Mitchell Robinson got 29 minutes, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and he is holding off Nerlens Noel from significant playing time. He's ranked 58 right now, averaging 1.7 blocks per game. Really, blocks per game and field goal percentage with some decent rebounding are the two main areas he helps you. He is getting a steal per game. That's really nice, too, and really low turnovers. So he's having a pretty decent fantasy basketball season. Though if you picked him in the top 30, you probably don't like to see where he's ranking. But if you got to pick him later towards the middle rounds, decent return on your investment there. James Wiseman had a double-double with 2 blocks and 3 turnovers. A player I wish I would have drafted more heavily, but I still think there's going to be some concerns with his percentages, just growing pains as a rookie. Though the 1.6 blocks per game while still getting new three-pointers made, definitely like to see that, and somebody I will have an eye on next year in drafts for sure. All right, guys, I think we've covered a good amount of the available waiver wire. I think that should help your team, especially if you're streaming. Now, let's go over some of my personal teams. All right, so here's what we're actually going to do. I'll show you. You can't see it right now, but I did really well last week. Really, really well. I won the majority of these leagues. I believe the only one I lost was this four quarters league, and I did lose Black Mamba number 24. You can see those are rougher performances for me. But so far, here I'm fourth in my 16-team overstated fantasy hoops league. I'm in first place. I won this league last year. There's a $100 buy-in. So very excited to be in first place so far. And I'm going to go more in depth in the video later. I'm actually going to go through the teams and show you who's on my teams and what pickups I do. That'll be in a video later today. For right now, just wanted to show you how my teams are performing so far. My Brock Lesnar Hoops League, I'll show you that one right now. I did end up winning 4-3, but I'm still in 7th place, 8-8-2, so I'm around 50% right now. Want to do better than that. Al Horford's a player I pretty regretful that I grabbed. Let me set my lineup for the week. And something cool before we wrap up, I wanted to show you about this Wizard extension, which if you haven't gotten it yet, you definitely want to pick up the Fantasy Wizard Chrome extension. One cool feature is when you're doing your research for your transaction trends, it actually shows you how many games played they have for the week, which is very, very useful. So here I can immediately see, oh, wow, Shake Milton has 4 games this week. Let me see if there's anyone on my team I want to drop for Shake Milton. Do I have a player that I want to drop? Doesn't appear so. Maybe a Josh Richardson type. Josh Richardson has been a little underwhelming. He's somebody I could consider. But that tool is great for its ability to show you what games are being played by those players for that week. So go ahead and get that extension. That is not a function of Yahoo. That is something you only get through using the Fantasy Basketball Wizard extension. And we've been collabing together. Very excited. It's a great tool. I try to create a great fantasy basketball channel for you, and I would only recommend the tool to you if it was equally great. And it's definitely equally great, maybe even better. If I'm going to be honest, it's a great tool with some great developers. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for the tool, let me know and I will forward that to them, because it's honestly my favorite fantasy basketball tool. Just adds a little extra flavor to what I do. A little extra flavor to this Yahoo UI that gives me real usable information that can help my team to instantly be able to know how many games they're playing that week. Is tremendous. And I believe they even let you go into the future. Okay, so you can go next week and instantly I see, oh wow, Shake Milton plays 5 games next week. So I pick him up today, I get 4 this week and 5 next week. Justin Holiday gets 5 games next week. So you can start planning not only for this week, but for the week ahead. An awesome tool. Definitely check it out. All right, y'all, we're nearing 1 hour. This was jam-packed, but it should get your week started off right. If you enjoyed this content and you want to continue seeing it, please leave a comment below. You know what to do. Subscribe Barack Lesnar Hoops. All right, I'm going to put my hoodie for this. Also, just like my hoodie, pretend I'm a thumb. Pretend I'm a thumb. This is a blue thumbs up. That's what I need you to do, okay? Blue thumbs up for the YouTube algorithm, because like a baby, it likes being fed thumbs. And when you feed it a thumbs up, it lets the algorithm know, hey, this Barack Lesnar guy is giving some pretty decent fantasy basketball information. Let me make his video pop up more, and we can grow this brand and we can grow this channel. How exciting is that? And if you have not yet, I am telling you, you are missing out. You need to join the official Barack Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Facebook group. It is the best fantasy Facebook group on Facebook. Fact. Fantasy Facebook group on Facebook is very redundant. But still, it's a fact. It is one of the best fantasy groups on Facebook, if not the best. We're currently nearing 300 members, and I want to grow that significantly. And this is an extension of my brand, because this is a place where you can come post your team. You can ask questions about your team, and you could be surrounded by other great fantasy basketball minds. And if I can't answer your question, there's great guys there like my boy Alriva, who's going to answer your questions. And Alriva, if I said your name wrong, I am so sorry. If it's Alriva, I'm so sorry. You let me know, because you're my boy. There's so many quality fantasy basketball players on that team, on that forum. They're going to answer your questions and get you right. All right, guys, until next time, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. Take care. Wash your hair.